Well, good evening, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. You might have gathered by now our services are a little bit more informal than some. So there will be some questions, and don't be afraid to respond. What I thought we'd look at tonight is some of the ideas that we find in the carols, some of the words that we sing in the carols. See how you get on with some of the questions I've got for you. First question, can you estimate or give a guess or just shout out any number? What would you say was the date that we've got recorded for the first carol? Oh, yeah, I'm not looking for dates. Sorry? 1702. 1702, any advance or? Sorry? Any more? 1066. Right, well, the first recorded carol that we have written down is in the year 129. All right, that's the first recorded one that we've still got. So you can see that carols have been around for quite a while. That one was a Roman one, a Roman bishop wrote it, and it's called The Angel's Hymn. And he said that it should be sung at Christmas time to celebrate that time. And we've got a various sort of string of carols from then. Apparently, carols fell out of favour in the sort of 4th, 5th centuries. Any ideas why they fell out of favour? Why did people stop singing the carols? No, it wasn't that. It was a very simple reason. The carols were in Latin, and people didn't understand what they were singing. So they stopped singing them. Yeah, seems like a reasonable idea. I mean, obviously, the sort of first few carols that were brought in, the Roman world was there, and everybody spoke Latin. But obviously, as the Roman Empire drifted away, then you went back to your own language, and suddenly you're singing songs in languages that you hadn't got a clue what you were singing. Now then, somebody who you will have heard of for other reasons actually reintroduced the carols but used the languages of the people who were around at the time. Any idea who that was? Sorry? No, it was before him. No, before that. Bing Crosby. Well, I think there was a possibility there, but it was definitely earlier. Right. Anybody heard of Francis of Assisi? Yeah. Well, reintroduce the idea of singing carols in your own language and not in Latin. Have you ever heard of the Puritans? Yeah. Well, they put a stop to Christmas. They stopped the carols, they stopped the celebration at Christmas. They said, no, it's a pagan thing, we'll stop it. And then, in the Victorian times, a couple of guys, one called William Sandy and another called Davis Gilbert, went round because the carols weren't sung in public, but they were being sung privately. And they went round and they gathered the music together in Victorian England, and they brought them together and they reintroduced the idea of singing carols in public. But you know, just perhaps even now, there's resistance to singing new carols. And people are singing, we're not singing these newfangled things. We want traditional carols. But which sort of traditional carols do we want? We want the ones that are sung in Latin. You know, when Francis of Assisi brought his in with the native languages, they sang the choruses in Latin. So should we go back to that one? Perhaps back to the Victorian version, or maybe the modern versions where we've chopped a lot of the verses out, because some of the carols that we sing, you should see the length of them originally. The first carol we sang tonight was Angels from the Realms of Glory. Anybody, any idea when that was written? Sorry? No, not quite. It was later than the 1400s. It's actually a bit later. It was a Victorian carol, 1825. and it was written by a Scot called James Montgomery. You'll never believe this, but it was first printed in a paper called the Sheffield Iris. All right? The Sheffield Iris. So it's very local. It tells of the birth of Christ. It talks about, as you've just been singing, the angels who sing about creation's story. The modern version that we sing has got less than half the original number of verses. In the original, it calls, first of all, the shepherds, the sages or the wise men. It calls saints, and it calls sinners to come and worship. Worship Messiah's birth. Now, as I say, it was written by a Scot, and I remember Dad's army. Do you remember the famous phrase that Private Fraser used to use? We're doomed. That's not a very good Scots accent. Come on. We're doomed. Aye, we're doomed. And in one of the verses, it talks about all mankind being doomed because of our guilt. In some of the verses that we don't sing, it talks about being doomed to endless pain. It tells of justice that's coming, but it also speaks of mercy that's coming as well. The second carol we sang was Joy to the World. When do you think that was written? Any ideas? 1927. No, it was earlier than that. 1842. Earlier than that.
1760.
Pardon? 1760 is the closest. 1719, it was written by Isaac Watts. One of the lines in that says, "Let every heart prepare him room, make way for him." And it says that he comes to spread his blessings wherever the curse is found. Seems strange, that, a curse? So what curse is he talking about? Well, one carol that we haven't sung is God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. That was one of the oldest extant carols that we've got. And do you know, there are about four or five different variations of that first verse. But one that seems to be more common says this: "For Jesus Christ our Saviour was born on Christmas Day to save our souls from Satan's power when we had gone astray." To save our souls. How's that shortened?
SOS.
SOS. And what we've been talking about?
A rescue.
The maritime, well, it used to be, before sort of all the internet and everything else, but the famous maritime signal when you were in distress, when you needed rescue, was SOS, save our souls. Isaac Watts, okay, and these other people put that into their carol, that God would answer our SOS, that God would answer our plea to save our souls. Because the Bible tells us that all of creation is under the curse of sin. We need a rescue because we're doomed. We need a rescue from the curse of sin. And that carol that we sang says joy to the world because God has a remedy and God is our rescuer. The carol that we sang next, Once in Royal David's City, made very famous because it's the opening carol that's sung where? On what? Where do you hear Once in Royal David's City as the first carol sung by a boy chorister? King's College, Cambridge. That's right. They use that as their opening carol. They have the boy chorister who's picked at the last minute to sing that opening verse. That was written in 1848. It was actually written by Cecil Francis Alexander. And then it was put to a tune a little bit later. It tells of our Lord living alongside us. It tells of the effects when his rescue is put into place. It says, "And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love." Because you see, when we send out our SOS, we get an answer. When we give out our cry for help, just like Mickey did, there's somebody there to do something about it. It's not the emergency services, it's God himself. He's got a remedy for our plight. He has got a rescue plan. O little town of Bethlehem, when do you think that was written? Anybody hazard a guess? <coughs> 1700s, a little bit later. Later than the 1700s. Or a little bit early. If you can get it in the middle, you'll be right. Very close. 1865. Okay? It was written by Philip Brooks, an American. And that tells us how we're rescued. Because the fourth verse speaks about the Holy Child casting out our sin and the one being born within us. The outworking of his redeeming love is to give himself for us. When we saw the rescuers came in and rescued Mickey. But the rescuer who came for us gave his life for us. He laid down his life for us. He was sacrificed so that we didn't have to die. And you know, because of his sacrifice, we're no longer doomed. Once we reach out to him and ask him for his help, we can experience his mercy and his grace. And that grace working in us makes us sing these carols as we've had tonight. A couple more that we'll be singing a little bit later on. O Come, All Ye Faithful. Give me a date for O Come, All Ye Faithful. Go on, go with... 1822. No, it was earlier than that. Anybody else? 1651. That's not a bad guess at all. It's about 1645. And the line in that says, O come, let us adore him. Who are we adoring? Christ the Lord. Because the one who came is God himself. The one who laid down his life for us is the Lord himself. He gave himself for us. Another carol that we'll be singing next says, Glory in the Highest. Any idea when Glory in the Highest was written? 1973. Ooh, no, a lot later than that. Grace? 1933? No. You're miles out. Should I tell you? 2004. 2006 was the album that it was on. And then the verse was added that we'll be singing also in 2009. It's actually a modern carol. It was written by Chris Tomlin, Daniel Carson, Ed Cash, Jesse Reeves, Matt Redman. It repeatedly says, Glory in the Highest. Because we understand what God has done for us. How God has rescued us. He heard the SOS. He was our rescuer. He's come down. He's given himself for us, and now he wants to live with us. And the response of people who've experienced that is glory to God. You are wonderful, Lord. We'll celebrate you. Christmas is God's rescue plan. It's when God intervened in human history and brought about the change that we can experience, and an experience that will last forever. And we say, Glory in the Highest. Amen.